Good morning. Before I get started with my talk this week, I want to check in with those of you who were here last time I was here, 2 weeks ago. Because your challenge was to wake up when your alarm went off and rip the sheets off and get out of bed without hitting the snooze alarm. So by show of hands on Monday morning after I was here, how many people did that? Yeah, awesome.
I thought about it.
What about Tuesday morning? What about yesterday morning? Well done, you guys did great. And how did it feel? Was it hard? Yeah, did you feel like you were more productive than had you hit the snooze alarm? That's awesome, that is actually more than I expected, probably because Monday I did it and the rest of the week I did not, I snoozed. But I'm human, right? A work in progress. So before I get into my notes, all morning I've learned very, very accurately described that my talks are all determined about how I wake up in the morning. So I have this talk prepared about imagination, which is why we picked the song Imagine. There's two very distinct schools of thought when it comes to preaching or giving a sermon. And one of them is that it's like a production, like I'm up here present like an actor in a play or something like that. Like it's almost like a circus. It's a show. That's not necessarily the school of thought that I believe in, but I see great purpose in it. On the other hand, the school of thought that I more resonate with is this authenticity belief where I am here knowing nothing more than you guys know. I'm just the one who decided to raise my hand and say, hey, I'll share some thoughts today. And if I'm being very real with myself, this is the most difficult, disconnected I've ever felt with a talk. And I'm not exactly sure why I'm feeling that energy today, but I just want to, authenticity is really important to me, and so I just want to be really clear that this is going to be a journey like no other this morning. So let's buckle in and see where it goes. Imagination is one of the 12 powers. Charles Fillmore wrote a book, The 12 Powers of Man, and listed these 12 faculties that we all contain within our being. And imagination, he describes it like this. With our imagination, we lay hold of ideas and clothe them with substance. The body is the product of the mind. Nothing is in the world that wasn't first created in the mind. I've often had this idea of taking the 12 powers and making a baseball team out of them. And so in that analogy, imagination's always my leadoff hitter, right? Because imagination is seeing things before they happen. It's creating things. It's putting that energy of thought into action. So he goes on to say, it's through imagination that the formless takes form. It is well known that the artist sees in mind every picture before he puts it on a canvas. So again, what a perfect leadoff hitter, right? This whole idea of imagination and creating, putting our thoughts into action is all also very clearly described in Unity's third principle, which is basically the law of attraction. And how many of us are familiar with the law of attraction? The secret, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. There are a plethora of cliches here that I could go on with, but I won't. What the third principle says is we are co-creators with God. We create our own reality through our thoughts and beliefs. Now, I took that exact quote off of Unity of the Valley. I'm not sure where Unity of the Valley is, but from their website. And then I went to a different website, a different Unity Church's website, because I was interested in the wording of that. And the third principle on a different website said, we create our life experiences through our way of thinking. So one says we create our own reality through our thoughts and our beliefs, and the other one says we create our life experiences through our way of thinking. The way I see it is that's a a very contradicting statement. And I want to explain a little bit more about that by talking about The Secret. Has everybody read or seen the movie The Secret? It came out in 2006. How many of you love The Secret? For those of you who love The Secret, I want to apologize in advance. I'm going to poke a lot of holes in it. So, my first question is, why is it a secret? Why is it called The Secret? Because it's not a new thought process. In 1936, Napoleon Hill wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, which is very much The Secret focused on money. 20 years later, Norman Vincent Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which is very much The Secret. In the early 80s, Tony Robbins wrote Unleash the Giant Within, which is very much The Secret. And then in 2006, Rhonda Byrne wrote The Secret. Now, when you think about these other books that were written, Think and Grow Rich in 1936 was shortly after the Depression had ended. So the timing of that book was very important. It was about financial stability. It was about prosperity. It was written for a group of people who had just struggled mightily to put food on the table for their families. When Norman Vincent Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, it was shortly after World War II. And the power of positive thinking was a very uncommon process at the time. Tony Robbins writes the book Unleash the Giant Within in the 80s, which was kind of when the baby boomers were going through maybe a midlife crisis, right around that time. But think about it. I'm not trying to be funny, Mom, I'm sorry, but think about it. It makes sense. These books were written at a very specific time with a very specific twist put on the exact same idea. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Now, The Secret, as I scan the crowd here, I can confidently say, except for the little fella up there, I'm the youngest one here. I can also confidently say I'm the only millennial in the room. I firmly believe that The Secret was written for the millennial generation, and this is why I think that. I'm not excluding myself from these knuckleheads, these millennials, but what I'm saying is The Secret came out with this idea that I am the center of the universe, with this idea in mind that think about what social media has done in the world right now, where everything has to be, look how I'm experiencing things. Look at me. Everybody, look at me. The Secret was all about me. It was all about experiencing what I want to experience. So why is it a secret? It's all about thinking thoughts, creating your reality, and attracting things into your life. Oh, great, Nick's here. Now I'm not the youngest one anymore. So the way I see it, this generation believes The Secret to be a solution for life, a solution for lack, a solution for need, as opposed to a remedy, as opposed to a tool. The law of attraction should never be a substitute for action. I think the biggest fault here is that we think that as long as we stay positive and think about that sports car that we've always wanted, we don't have to do anything else. All we have to do is keep thinking and keep thinking and keep affirming and keep believing and keep believing. But if we're spending our money on fast food or if we're not doing anything to create a space in our life or an opportunity to buy a car, we just think someone's going to pull it into our driveway and hand us the keys. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but that's the thought process that people go through. It's a very lazy thought process. And I'll be the first to say it's kind of a lazy generational thing. I think the millennials have latched on to this idea, and it gives them an excuse to be a little lazy. It gives us an excuse. I want to take a quick step back and say, I don't see anything wrong, inherently wrong, with the secret. I think the third unity principle has been the third unity principle for a very long time, and it has been very effective for a lot of people. When you use the law of attraction for the purpose of, let's say, getting you out of a dark space, for the purpose of getting life back on track, I think it's perfect. I can't see any flaw in that. If there's a moment in your life where you feel like you can't go on, excuse me, and you use the law of attraction, the law of affirmation, the thoughts producing experiences, it is very clear and very easy to see those results. That's how the universe works. But the way the secret gets presented was that if you think about something long enough, you'll get it. The way the secret was presented, if we all close our eyes and imagined a pink elephant for the next hour, a pink elephant should, we should see a pink elephant right here, right now. Now, if you guys believe that, there's a church down the road that I would love to introduce you to. Because that's not what Unity believes. We don't believe that if I imagine a dollar bill will appear out of nowhere right here on this platform. Now, we could do an experiment, and I could have us all affirm that a dollar bill appears on this platform. And I promise you, somebody will take a dollar bill out of their wallet and put it right here. That is the law of attraction. I'm not trying to steal a dollar from you, but all I'm saying is that experiment would show that it's not about pulling out of thin air. It's about staying in tune and connected with the universal spirit. Somebody would feel called to make that happen. And there have been times in your life when you have felt called to make that happen for somebody else. That's how the law of attraction works. We don't pull out of thin air what we are affirming. We hone in on the people, the places, the energy, the universal energy that can help us achieve our dreams. It's like when you are wanting to buy a new car. Let's say you're wanting to buy a Chevy Impala, a bright orange Chevy Impala, because it's unique. You don't see it very often. And you start thinking about it, and you start dreaming about it, and you start preparing yourself because you know that you need to take the steps to buy a new car. What's the first thing you see when you go out on the road tomorrow morning? A bright orange Chevy Impala. Because, not because the universe said, oh, you want this? Here, I'm going to put it right here. But because you're becoming connected with this energy, and you become aware of the orange Impala that's your neighbor's owned for 3 years. It's been sitting next door for that long, but you've never even noticed it. When you use the law of attraction like this, it's both harmful and productive. It's harmful because you say, oh my gosh, I just created that Chevy Impala. Now if I just try a little bit harder, I'll create it in my driveway. That's the harm in it. The productivity is if you're aware that you're becoming more conscious of universal energy, you can use that to your advantage. You can use that as motivation. So I would say if you let the law of attraction be a tool in your arsenal of tools, there are five unity principles for a reason. Not any single one of them is the solution. There are 12 powers for a reason, because not any single one of them is the end-all, be-all faculty of man. So I'm feeling much more aligned right now in this moment with this talk than I was when I started. And I got to tell you, there was a moment yesterday morning when I was writing, when I was formulating everything, where I literally just wanted to call Michael Berry and say, I'm really sorry, but good luck. But it was to that point. And I wish I could tell you that, you know, some mystical energy came across my spirit and it didn't happen. I was sitting here this morning while they were singing that song thinking, I don't know how this is going to go. It's a real humbling thing for me to be able to even say that to you guys because, you know, as a performer, as a professional, and as a speaker, you want to feel prepared. You want to feel confident. You want to feel competent. And until walking up here, I can promise you that those feelings were not present. And so I want to try real hard to tie this back into imagination, but all I'm feeling right now is just being called to authenticity. And it's so important for me to be true to myself and to know that above all else, authenticity will pave the way to purpose. Above all else, as long as I'm true to who I am, and I'm not trying to put on a show, or I'm not trying to be somebody that they want me to be, or somebody else thinks I should be, there's purpose in that for me. And whether I'm affirming greatness, or whether I'm affirming competency at sometimes, it's always for me about being real in the moment. Sometimes change can be painful. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but sometimes growth and change can be a struggle. I think this is where the secret loses me. Because in the secret, we're taught to believe that you are supposed to always be positive, always believe that it's all good. And I think that change is constant. And it's not always pleasant. And sometimes improving your life, sometimes in pursuit of your goals and your dreams, you've got to tear down parts of you. You've got to destroy parts of you in order to rebuild yourself in a way that you want to, excuse me, be built. Charles Fillmore talks about the process of chemicalization, which as far as I'm concerned, can best be described like when you feel sickness in your body. That's, Charles Fillmore would say, that's your body going through the process of chemicalization to get rid of bacteria or anything that's not serving you at the time so that you can create space for more goodness in your life. So in your body, it would be getting rid of like bacteria or anything like that, so that you can fill it with good, healthy cells, a healthy body. Spiritually, we talk about it so that you can get rid of error thinking, negative thinking, and replace that with sound, positive consciousness. And by that, I want to be really clear. I don't mean always there's always blue skies and rainbows. I'm talking about believing that there's a purpose for this in my life, and whether I can see it now or not, I believe that purpose is good. Now, I just broke my ankle, and this is painful. let's not try to pretend it's not. Pain is very real. And I can assure you that the change is going to be painful at times. There will be resistance, there will be anxiety, there will be stress. But muscles can't be built without resistance. All of the greatest weightlifters in the world, don't just do this with air. That weight is serving a purpose. And until you get to the point when you can no longer lift it, you're pushing your muscles to the breaking point. When we're changing and when we're growing, that's when we're being pushed to our breaking point. You can't build emotional resilience, persistence, or courage without forging through hard times. And I believe that forging through hard times is what's creating your better tomorrow. Forging through the hard times today, myself as an example, forging through the desire to give up on this talk, the fear of coming up here and stumbling over my words, the fear of not being able to give you what you need, which is the very human fear that I have sometimes, forging through those fears makes me realize that my purpose isn't about giving you anything. My purpose is about being me. And that gives me some clarity. That gives me some humility. That gives me some power to be able to share some thoughts with you, to be able to share my experiences with you. So forging through those fears, forging through those anxieties, those worries, makes us stronger, makes us better, gives us the tools we need to tackle the next challenge in our lives. So while the secret is not perfect, I think that it can serve a great purpose in motivating us to take steps. If I could just give you that simple reminder that it's not the solution, it's an avenue to action. And I think any avenue to action when formulated from spirit, only great things can happen from there. And I know that only great things can happen in your life now. And I would encourage you to see the beauty in the breakdowns, because they're there, and they're there for a purpose. Thank you.